Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rockin' and rollin', the Ciroc Point After is continuing, and want to hear from you, obviously, 504-260-1870, phone lines lit up, wanting to sound out off about the Saints' latest loss, 23-22, to the Carolina Panthers. Looking at the NFL scoreboard is brought to you by Miller Lite. Some of the games going on in action right now: Arizona up 7-0 over Chicago, the Eagles in Philadelphia up 7-0 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Green Bay is on the board, leading 3-0 against the Detroit Lions. The L.A. Rams and Seattle Seahawks are currently scoreless. That one just kicked off as well. Some of the games that have been final from earlier today: we had the Atlanta Falcons taking down the Dallas Cowboys 27-21. Baltimore just beaten up on Denver 41-10. Buffalo comes back to take down the Miami Dolphins 30-27 in Buffalo. The Panthers take down the Saints 23-22 in Carolina. The Black and Gold, a seventh straight defeat for New Orleans. Cincinnati takes down Las Vegas 41-24. The Chargers taking down the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland 27-10. The New York Giants fall to the Washington Commanders 27-22 in New York. And the Tennessee Titans take care of business against the New England Patriots 20-17. We're going to head to another break here on the Ciroc Point After. Hear your calls, 504-260-1870. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome into the Ciroc Point After, folks. Before we get into Bobby's rant, let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, we've gotten to this point, Cajun Cannon, a seventh straight loss for the Black and Gold. The Saints falling 23-22 at Carolina. Ugly all around for this team, and unfortunately not ugly with a positive outcome.
Well, the Saints are officially have hit rock bottom. I'd say, you know, I'm trying to tend to be positive. You know, you just look at the glass. Is it half full or half empty? It depends on your attitude. You can say, oh, I'm a kind of a half full kind of guy. Or you might be, no, I'm a pessimist. It's half empty. Well, going into the Carolina game, the damn glass was empty. So it was nothing left. But you know what just happened? You went to fill up the glass again, and it slipped out of your hand, and you dropped it on the floor, and it shattered. And it just broke all to pieces. So 7 games in a row. Now, listen. Dennis Allen's a nice guy. I mean, he really is. He's not, you know, sometimes like Ditka, or even Sean's personality, they could kind of get under your skin. But if they're on your side, y'all for them if they're winning.
Right.
You know, the bottom line is you have to win. I think Haslett sometimes. But Dennis Allen, no, he's a nice guy. But the bottom line, you could be a nice guy if you win. If you don't win, then changes will have to be made. It's like I said last week, that, you know, because I viewed us, and this kind of been the situation in the Dennis Allen post Sean Payton. We're not bad, but we're not like good. We're not elite. We kind of middle of the pack. You know, there's 32 teams, so, you know, we about 9-8, 8-9 team, 15 or 16 ranked out of the 32 teams, hovering in the middle. Well, boy, I was wrong. I don't think so. And then I said, well, last week after we lost 6 in a row, said, we're in the 20s. We're not in the middle of the pack.
Lower.
We're not even in the 20s. We're more like in the 30s now. And that's either last, one before last, or number 30. So there's 32 teams. So I think right now, the way we're playing and with our confidence, we're not in the teens. We're not elite, obviously. We're not in the teens. We're not in the 20s. We're in the 30s. 30, 31, 32. I don't know if we played the best out of seven. I think we can beat Carolina four times. I mean, we crushed them, but look, that wasn't that long ago. And look at this game, how it unfolded. 23-22. I mean, and how it started. I'm going to elaborate on that. We're winning 6-0. It should have been 10-0.
At least.
Or at least, at least. Or maybe not 14-0. The reason why, well, Bobby, how are you so optimistic? You know why? Because coming into this game, even with the backup quarterbacks, we were the fifth-ranked team in the red zone scoring. We were scoring 67% of the time we were getting touchdowns. Well, today we were 50%. Like I said, we were number five. And so what did we do? We go 10 plays, 67 yards, and we kick a 29-yard field goal. We go 11 plays, 72 yards, kick a 33-yard field goal. So that's like an extra point. Now, Groupie's missed a couple of those, as far as extra points. He'll make the 50-yard field goal. But again, we're only winning 6-0. That's when you're on the road, you got to put the hammer down. But what I observed, I don't know, unless because it's your team, a local team, or you live in Carolina, that was two bad teams. I mean, there's so many other NFL games going on. I'm watching something else. You might have people might, because if you have options, let's say you don't have the Red Zone channel or whatever, you can watch all the games. You might have had people, instead of watching CBS and the Saints, Carolina, they might have watched the damn Cowgirls and the Falcons, and where they're at. You know, just to see something that's more meaningful. So it was just two bad teams we were witnessing. Like I said, great start. We're not going three and out. But then you're settling for field goals. Now, it was also frustrating at the end. We're up 22-17. Now, I can remember this, and you got to do this. It might be boring, whatever, but you don't have to score. You're up 22-17. You know what you need to do? Is get first downs. I'm not talking about two-minute offense. It's called basically four-minute offense. Drew Brees and Sean Payton emphasized this. I remember Coach Barr with myself. No, I'm telling you, it's not that hard. You string together two or three first downs, the damn game's over. And then you do a win the game play and you're kneeling down. And they don't have a chance to come back. But how can you truly have success, when you're trying to close out the game?
I was checking out Michael Thomas's Twitter feed, my bad.
Oh, okay, because I'm here. I thought maybe he was on the line or something. but how can you, have a four-minute offense to close out games when I'm looking penalties? Okay, like stupid penalties. Whatever. I don't know. The officials might have been flag happy. To me, I never liked it when they called 16 penalties. To me, you had 16 penalties. How many times you tell me? 9 penalties or more, 100 yards? It's like giving up a touchdown. We lost by 1 point. So that's like yielding a touchdown. But they called 16 penalties in the game. And at the end, I don't know. You flagged DeMario Davis, and it looks like even though he didn't get his head around, he's still just going straight up with his hands. And then are you calling interference or you're not calling interference? But it should never even get to that point. But going back to scenarios when you're trying to close out the game and you have the lead, and you're not doing anything. It's 2nd and 30. Oh, yeah, we're getting a first down. 2nd down and 30 yards to go. And you're trying to have a sustained drive. The next time we have 1st and 23. I think the odds against you that you're not going to have be able to string together 1, 2, or 3 first downs in a row to end the game and end up winning the game. So I look at a big play, and these are guys that we're counting on. But, like, again, Honey Badger's going to miss a tackle a game, maybe one or two. And, they go 9 plays, 86 yards in the third quarter to take the lead, 17-13. I remember Bryce hits, Sanders?
Jatavion Sanders,
Yeah. I mean, he ended up leading them in receptions. He had 4 catches, 5 targets for 87 yards, 22-yard average. He had the long gain of 46. I don't know. It was like Pete Werner and Honey Badger, they kind of ran into each other. They kind of kept him up, and he kept going. He just can't have those kind of negative plays by your stars if you can end up winning. But that's why if you look, you know, you could say stats for losers, but a lot of times stats tell you what's happening, but not so much in that game because it does depend in critical situation when it happened because that was winning football. When you look at it as far as us rushing the football, we thought, who can run the football? Who could stop the run? Because they were going to give Chuba Hubbard an opportunity to run against us. And he averaged 3.5 yards a run, so I'd say overall we stopped him. He had, but he averaged 4.8, but he had 72 yards. But we had 197 yards, right at 5 yards per carry. So that's frustrating there. Time of possession, we had the ball 9 minutes more. Alvin Kamara, this is winning football when you look at total yards from scrimmage. All right, you look, the 215, hello? 29 carries, 155 yards, 5.3-yard average, 6 catches, 60 yards. So, I mean, I don't know. Like Derek Carr at times, it seems like, I don't know, he was just, he looked like an NFL quarterback, but not a $150 million quarterback, so to speak. But, you know, Little Bryce, you know, look, he was 16 to 26, but he's just so glad he won a game. You know, and stuff. He ended up being the winning quarterback. Now, when you look at, like, defensively, where we're at, Pete Warren again led the team in tackles with 8 total, 6 unassisted, tackle for loss. Carl Granderson had a half a sack. I thought Nathan Shepard, this might have been one of his more productive games as far as he also had a half a sack. They gave him credit with Carl Granderson, 2 quarterback hurries. Carl Granderson had a quarterback hurry, had a tackle for a loss. Now, what you know, Steve, you know we talk about, he didn't even make the stat line, but he did get a sack, but it doesn't count on the 2-point attempt. Chase Young, I'm just looking at this. He didn't even make, but that's not, that sack does not count, I guess, on a 2-point conversion, like if you get an interception on that particular play. I know we're decimated in the secondary. But still, like Jean Charles, I thought, well, he got beat inside for a touchdown, but he guess I get made that up with that key interception. But at the bottom line, it was just two bad teams.
And a historically bad outcome for the Saints. They made history today, Cajun.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's what I want you to share. And, you know, some fans might say, well, it's typical, the damn Saints. And when you're going to read this, to show you how improbable it was for this to happen to the Saints. If you'd have just said they did this, and you talk about NFL history. Now, Steve, now, Who Dat Nation, y'all listen to this, what Steve's going to tell you. And this is what occurred today. That's why you have to look at the ebb and flow of a game and what happens. But you'd be like, well, if you just gave these numbers, so yeah, the Saints are going to win. But read this, Steve.
Yeah, from ESPN's Bill Barnwell, the Saints outgained the Panthers by 150-plus yards. They also ran for 150-plus yards and won the turnover battle. Over the last 20 years, teams that had done that were 275-0. Now, 275-1.
Some fans just say, like, typical Saints.
Outgained them by 150 or more yards, ran for 150 or more, and won the turnover battle.
No, Steve, if you'd have told me that those numbers before the game, because there ain't no way the Saints are going to lose.
No, you think they'd cover, too.
Oh, yes. yeah, like 7, 7.5.
Ooh.
No, cover. I mean, they didn't even win the game. So, no, very frustrating. Not good. Where do they go from here?
I don't know.
That'll be interesting. I still think they might let the season play out. And I think, and I'm elaborating that more as the show goes on, as far as, you know, potential coaching changes. And you might say, well, they got a clean house, well, that ain't going to happen. Now, you might restructure things, and I may explain that. But you're not necessarily going to clean house as far as, and I think, because it's Atlanta, I think the fan base, or they'll have enough people, enough fannies in the seats in the dome because it's Atlanta. But you let them lose to Atlanta again, I don't know, you might have 45, 50,000 show up for the Browns game.
And, a lot of orange in there.
And it might be the dog pounds traveling or something from Cleveland. you know, depending. But that's when you look at the bottom line, the money. That's when Dennis Schlosser and Ms. Gale gets involved. And that's why you can't have a fan base that, like, okay, I'm frustrated with the team. I don't have an interest anymore. And that can't happen. And it just goes to show you, boy, it doesn't take long. With Drew Brees and Sean Payton build up post-Katrina, 16 years, within 3 years, it's back to hovering early 21st century, late 20th century, Mike Ditka Haslett. You know how you kind of on that roller coaster? Okay, you got rid of that Ditka. Oh, Haslett won the first playoff game. And then what happened to Haslett? You know, the 4 or 5, a handful of years.
Not sustained, sustained success.
Yeah, and pre-Katrina. So, no, that's kind of where we're at right now. And once you win a Super Bowl, the fans get to the point where they're so frustrated that they might do something else instead of watch their favorite team until maybe you give them hope. You got to give fans hope. But I can tell you this. Now, you can do what you want. But to me, once you win a Super Bowl, you don't need to wear no damn bag. You might want to wear, like, bring a bag, a paper bag to the stadium, just in case. I don't know what's happening in Atlanta or maybe the Browns or the rest of the home games. But I say, once you win a Super Bowl, no, we are not the Lions. And that's the Lions who've never been to the Super Bowl. That's the Cleveland Browns who've never been to the Super Bowl. So you have to look at that scenario, and if your team's not winning. Now, you could boo. You could boo from the beginning, the kickoff, until the end of the game. But I just think that the Saints have earned more what they established by winning a Super Bowl. And to me, that's drawing attention to yourself if you want to wear a paper bag. Now, if you go 1-15 and you've never won, yes, those are paper bag days. But I don't think we're there right now. That would just be in the social media age. Oh, film me. Look, I got my paper bag on my head.
Back to the Aints, you know,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. No, we won a Super Bowl. We're not going back to the Aints.
What we're going to do is take a break, Cajun Cannon. You can sound off after you've heard what he's had to say. 504-260-1870. We will be back with even more of the Ciroc Point After. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. The black and gold falling in Carolina 23-22, a seventh straight defeat for New Orleans. The Saints now 2-7 on the season. Cajun Cannon, not a pretty record.
No, and you know what? It's now, you know what's crazy? The parity in the NFL and, you know, whether you're playing at home or on the road. We're now, all the games, we're 15-15 in Charlotte. What? You know, when you think about truly flip a coin,
yeah,
we're 15-15. We're now 31-29. So it's not 50-50 there. We got 31 wins. Carolina has 29. But on the road,
they're catching up.
It's 15-15. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Now, I said this in the pregame. And before I say this in the pregame, okay, I look at Dennis Allen. He's had opportunities, a big enough sample size. Overall, as a head coach, count the Raiders. You got to count the Raiders and the Saints because you could say you can grow as a head coach. He's 26-53. What was that? You basically, like Charlie Bowie said, it's like you're winning a third of your games, 26-53. And then the head coach of the Saints, he's 18-25. So that's not 500. So you're not hovering around 500. Oh, we're just going to turn the corner. So, no, if you look overall as a Raiders Saints coach, that's over your head. That's a losing record, obviously. And then it's not hovering around 500 with the Saints. It's 18-25. Well, I said this in the pregame, Mickey Loomis. You know, he talks to the media. It's like after last year. So, you know, because we're now in the 2024, and this was in January, I believe, like with Jeff Duncan and all, we were talking about this. January of 2024, so the 2023 postseason news conference we have. And you talk about the culture on the team and cultural issues within the team. And what's your culture, that winning culture that you establish all through the years with Drew Brees, Sean Payton, and all that, and you're trying to continue that. So Mickey goes on to say, sometimes we're not doing the things that are necessary to win. Talking about the team. And he says, that's on me. I've got to hold our guys to a standard, that being the players, and I guess the whole staff, because he's the man in charge, he's the GM. I think that I probably let that slip a little bit over the last few years. We've gotten a little too comfortable over the last few years. Obviously, this is like, I think, post-Sean Payton. So I want to make it uncomfortable. Well, it's definitely uncomfortable right now when you lose 7 games in a row. So you can't sugarcoat it. So now, yeah, we've lost. So what are we right now? We're 2-8?
2-7. 7 straight losses.
So 7 straight losses. Yeah, I'm losing track. So we lost 7 straight. And so that's Mickey. So, and I said this yesterday. I was at Rouse's in Biloxi. And I'm talking about, if I look in my crystal ball and what I think might happen, because I look at history around the league and stability, and, you know, I'm not trying to get nobody fired. I'm just saying what has occurred and for leadership. So, you know, when Mr. Benson passed away, I'm sure he told his wife, Ms. Gale, that I want you to take care of my team, and these individuals have been a big part of our success and stability. That being Dennis Lauscher, that being Mickey Loomis, that being Greg Bentzel. You look from the public relations with Bentzel, Mickey Loomis, the general manager, and Mr. Lauscher handling the finances. Okay, but you have to win. It's a production business. Either you're winning or losing. It's not like, and when Mickey should have never said this, it's always about the results. No, you have to win, the bottom line. So what I could see happening and where we're at right now, oh, yeah, it's easy. We gave the head coach an opportunity and get a new head coach. But, you know, a number of fans says, oh, we need a clean house. We need to get rid of everybody. Well, that's not going to happen. Now, you might restructure people. That ain't going to happen. Well, what I mean by that, the head coach might be gone. Well, who's advising? They've already had a change up in the scouting department before. Remember Russ Ball, I think he went to Green Bay, and I can't think of the other individual that also had left. They're still in the NFL, but they just moved to another team. Remember when Jeff Ireland came in here? And then, but that 2017 draft, that was a long time ago. So the fall guys, to me, where we're at right now, would be like Dennis Allen and Jeff Ireland. Okay, and then instead of hiring from within, yeah, you got to get some new blood in the building, some new outside influence. And this has happened before, right here within the NFC South with the Atlanta Falcons. And do you remember his dad was a famous head coach, Coach McKay, with USC and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You know, and remember the media asked him about the offense, struggling or something. I forgot how they phrased the question. He goes, yeah, I'm all in favor of it. Like them executing.
Right.
Well, his son, Rich McKay, was the GM for the Falcons. He wasn't working out, but Arthur Blank liked him and the trust. So he just got a new position, and he moved up in the organization. Now they got from the Saints, they got Fontenot, who's running the team.
Right.
So I'm saying Mickey Loomis ain't going nowhere. He might go and be a senior consultant or some. Now, I'm speculating. I don't know any of this. I'm just speculating that then Mickey Loomis, I could see this happening. Fan, who that nation, I'm telling you, and that he's still around. He's a consultant, but he's representing Ms. Gale like at the owners' meetings, kind of like a Rich McKay role with the Saints. And you bring in a new general manager. Then the new general manager hires the coach he wants, and then also gets the personnel people that he wants, and then you're really starting over, because it's not continuation of Drew Brees and Sean Payton, because it has changed in 3 years. Them days are over. Who's the only Super Bowl player still playing? Thomas Marstead?
J-E-T-S.
With the Jets? But he's had an unbelievable game punting, but it just goes to show you, how can you continue that process. So that's what I think when you look at, oh, fire Dennis Allen right now. I would say if they would fire the coach, you know what people say, oh, fire him, don't let him get on the plane. Make him get his own way home from Charlotte.
That they're not going to do,
no,
right?
No, but that's like kind of old school,
sure,
with
right.
What fans say and stuff.
But we could get word tomorrow. I wouldn't doubt that anymore now.
I wouldn't doubt it, but I wouldn't. Flip a coin. It could go either way. They might keep Dennis Allen, or they might not keep Dennis Allen, just based on his track record. I would think the interim coach that would deserve an opportunity, because we've always had a top five special teams, would be Coach Rizzi.
Absolutely.
And the reason why I say him, oh, Bob, are you naming a special teams coach? Well, you still, you haven't, Kubiak still run the offense, and then it's not Dennis Allen's baby, but don't we have a defensive coordinator? And give him an opportunity.
And you mentioned with Rizzi being the special teams coordinator, he also is the assistant head coach. So, boom.
Yes, boom. And you've had successful special teams coach become a head coach. One of the most famous in history. Steve, you know who it is?
I think a guy you like.
With the Ravens. Not Jim Harbaugh, but John Harbaugh.
The other Harbaugh, right.
The other Harbaugh. John Harbaugh with the Ravens. That's his background. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways they can go. But to say that we know exactly what's going to happen, that I don't know. But I think changes will be made, but they're not just going to clean house like some fans might expect.
Cajun Cannon from our statistician, Brian Duvall, he lets me know the Saints have zero excuses not to fire DA, but they haven't fired a coach in season since 1980. That's you talk about sample size.
So I'm trying to think. Who that was before Bum Phillips. Who was even 1980? Dick Nolan? No, I don't think. Was it Dick Nolan?
We'll look that up.
I got to look that up. I was in college at that time.
We will take a break, coming right back with more, though. 1980, right.
Whoa.
Right here with more after this on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
And Dennis Allen's not quitting like Mara did.
Back here on the Ciroc Point After, remember the day after the Saints score a touchdown, you can get free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. Checking in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers text line 504-260-1870. So many callers lined up wanting to sound off. Hector in New Orleans, you are first up on the Ciroc Point After. How are you doing, my man?
Well, I'm beyond disappointment again. I mean, nothing surprises me now. But to answer your question, last coach that was fired, it was Dick Nolan. He was replaced by Dick Stanfield.
Yes, thank you. We had looked it up. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, we did with Dick Nolan. We talk about that was the low of the low. Do you know what's crazy? They finally won a game, the one before last game, against the Jets.
Against the Jets.
Yeah, so they ended up 1-15. No, that was the lowest of the Saints organization. That's not even close.
I mean, after living through all those dark times, all the way up to when Sean Payton came, I would have thought that even though after Sean Payton left, I thought there was enough of that standard to continue winning would still stay with the organization. But it just
So did I, Hector. That wasn't the case. I was like, I don't know. I even said this. It just seemed like the same song and dance. I don't know. We're not going to be bad, but we're not going to be elite. But we kind of be the middle of the pack. We're not in middle of the pack. We're not even near that right now.
But the thing that was very frustrating today, seeing the game, but just seeing the past seven games, if it ain't penalties, if it ain't missed tackles, now what I'm seeing is the decision-making on the field just doesn't make any sense to me. That, you know, we got to win this game. We got to do something to win this game. You got 4th-and-1. They never really stopped Taysom Hill. This is on our second-to-last possession of the game. 4th-and-1 at midfield. In fact, it was less than 1 yard. If you really look at where the ball was at, it was less than 1 yard. They haven't stopped Alvin Kamara. They haven't stopped Taysom Hill. So what do? Let me line up. Let me try to draw him offside. Then I take the penalty. I didn't get that. And then on the last play of the game, that 4th-and-4, you call a timeout before that, I would have thought they would have something better. It just seems that when you lose so much and you've been losing, all of a sudden I think it starts creeping into the decision-making, and then you come up with results like this. People start questioning what hell play you're running. You're not playing to win. You're keeping them around. You outgained them. You outrushed them. You even won the turnover battle, and you still find a way to lose. Nah, we shouldn't even be surprised by this coaching staff anymore.
No, it was like, mind-boggling. And, I try to look at, okay, areas we excelled in, you know, the red zone, but offensively and defensively. And like I said, we were top five as far as scoring touchdowns. The first two times we had to settle for field goals. You know, we were number 5 in the NFL. And then red zone defense. You know, we're top 10. We're number 8 in the NFL. Teams are only converting 44%. Well, sorry, team like the Panthers, they were 100% today. No, it starts snowballing in a negative way, and then you can't stop the bleeding. And that's what ends up happening. But, I mean, if you get this kind of production from Alvin Kamara and you win the turnover battle, I mean, I don't know, he had 215 yards from scrimmage as a pass receiving running back and also running. But even Alvin Kamara at times, being smart and not staying in bounds and going out of bounds, it's just paying attention to detail. It just seems like we're lacking in crucial times at times.
Well, Cajun,
critical times, I should say.
Cajun Cannon, I have another first for you in NFL history in this game.
Okay, is it has to be negative, I'm sure.
Panthers are the – this is from NFL on CBS, folks. The Panthers, the first team in the Super Bowl era.
So, Super Bowl era, okay.
To win a game with under 250 total yards gained, zero takeaways, and 425-plus total yards allowed.
Again, the Saints. I mean, how did we lose? I mean, that just goes to show you
no
right
comprende.
There.
No comprende. Makes no sense.
No, that's why – you could say, no, look at those numbers. You say, oh, well, the injuries. No, you look at those numbers, that should be winning numbers. But the Saints right now are finding a way to lose and not come away with a win.
Taking your calls, 504-260-1870 here on the Ciroc Point After. We shall step away and be back with more right after this. So keep it right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we are lining them up and pouring them out here on the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? You can sound off 504-260-1870. Me and the Cajun Cannon will be your bartender for the day. Going to get into Steve in Monterey. Wants to talk about Derek Carr. What you got for us today, Steve?
All right, guys. I got six things. I'll make it quick, but they're really good, okay? Dirty hit on Olave. Someone should have been ejected. Shocked nobody was ejected. That was a terrible hit. Secondly, Mike Thomas is right. Derek Carr throws hospital balls. He's not the right guy. He's not the leader. No doubt about it. Andy Dalton would have been better. They should have just continued with him. I say put in Rattler from now on. Let him grow. Let him learn. Whatever. All right. Referees, they want doom for the Saints, and so they doomed them. I mean, these guys totally outscored these other guys, but it was like the momentum always got taken away. Clint Kubiak, it's just a last name. That's all. He ain't got no creativity. He ain't got anything going. He can't motivate anyone. Last, I'm going to go on record. I'll be the one to say it. Steve from Monterey. Let's go with Zach Street for the next Saints head coach. All right. Peace out, fellas.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, I don't think Zach Street got enough experience. He has enough skins on the wall. You know who I would like who's very Dan Campbell-like?
The former Titans coach.
Yes. Vrabel.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, he, you know, we talk about, like, tough or, I mean, I don't know. You might not like that type of personality, but we always say Dan Campbell, how we let him out the building.
You know what? You know? Steve brought up that hit on Olave, and Charlie brought this up to me, too. Dave Newton, who is the ESPN Panthers reporter, brought up the fact that that hit that Saints wide receiver Chris Olave took that had to be carted off and strapped to the board, that was the 9th unnecessary roughness penalty on safety Xavier Woods since entering the NFL in 2017. That is the most in the league during that span.
No, he's a headhunter.
Right.
He's a headhunter. But, that was a hospital ball by Derek Carr. But, you know, Michael Thomas has accused Derek Carr of throwing him those kind of balls. No. The one ball that I shed last year when he – was it the Vikings game or something? I can't recall the game. But the one game when Michael Thomas got hurt, that wasn't that bad of a pass when he did get hurt by Derek Carr. Now, that pass – to Chris Olave, no, that is a hospital ball. I said that's way overthrown. No, Derek Carr was rusty today. He definitely was rusty, but if you look at, okay, let's say the Saints have a top 5 pick. I don't know how things are going to unfold. I don't know if it's bad luck or just no luck at all, however you want to describe it. Oh, we got to get a good young quarterback. This year's quarterback draft, no, it's not going to happen. It is not a good class. It's not like Jane Daniels or something. You look when you have that. So I think no matter who's the coach, that Derek Carr will be the quarterback the rest of this year and next year. I don't know about 2026 going there, so the whole rebuilding process. But as far as you can just talk to a number of experts. There's the down quarterback class for this upcoming draft. And I thought, Derek, you look at quarterback rating. He had a quarterback rating right at 93. Bryce Young was at basically 78. But it was a few balls that with Derek, it didn't seem like that. I've witnessed Derek Carr being more accurate than 18 of 31.
For sure.
Normally, that would be a game where, I saw Derek Carr, he instead of 18 of 31, maybe he was 23 of 31. So, but that ball, I agree with Mike Thomas there, that was a hospital ball to Chris Olave. But Derek Carr never threw Michael Thomas hospital ball. That's a bunch of BS. And then Michael Thomas, who was, it's not by accident. You don't win NFL Offensive Player of the Year by accident. That happened. But for him to not be on another NFL team right now and they have injured receivers, hello. Mike Thomas, don't you have to humble yourself and look in the mirror? Maybe it might be you, and they don't want that cancer in the locker room or that negative influence. I'm just saying. Now, I don't know if you've humbled yourself enough. Say, I want to play football that bad and the minimum as far as years of experience. You might still think you want X amount of money, but you got $50 million guaranteed. You're all right. If you want to play football that bad, come back and play. Just come back and play, but does the team want to put up with you? So yeah, that's why you have to listen. You have to look. You gotta evaluate and look both sides. It's not Michael Thomas is right or he's wrong. You have to look at the whole scenario.
Yeah.
So when he says Derek Carr is always throwing hospital balls, and Michael Thomas, when you got hurt, that wasn't true. Now Chris Olave, yes, that was true. But in your case, no, that was not true.
Chris's brother Josh, taking to social media, has become quite a nuisance on there. He tweeted out, though, bro just called, he's up and active. A fan responded to Josh Olave's tweet saying, might be time to have the is it worth it talk. Josh Olave responds back, Bobby, ain't worth it in NOLA, I'll tell you that.
Well, ain't worth it in NOLA, but Chris Olave, you got to go get that second contract.
This is Chris Olave's brother, though, not Chris talking.
Yeah, that sounds like Dak Prescott's brother talking. You know, you always got the brothers or the daddies talking.
Right.
Like Caleb Williams. Then you have his daddy talking with the Bears, challenging the Bears coaching staff. Come on, you get they too emotional, get their personal feelings involved. Chris Olave ain't quitting, even though he's gotten those concussions. You know why? He ain't really got paid.
No, definitely not.
Michael Thomas got paid. Chris Olave is trying to get paid. And I tell you this, Chris Olave, he's a young player that we need to excel. He's good to very good. He ain't great. He ain't elite. Chris Olave could be everybody's number two in the NFL, number two or three on every roster. But what is that payday?
Unfortunate for him, too, because obviously he decided against wearing the Guardian cap in the game.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have made a difference.
I don't know either, right.
It looks like you got bubblehead. Now, some players might be embarrassed. Oh, that ain't no swag. Look how goofy I look with that thing on, instead of worrying about your health. No, some players, they take that into consideration. Even though I'm trying to stay healthy.
Right, like you're looked at as a wimp or something because you are wearing that, and also it's not fashionable.
Not fashionable, but you get hit in the head enough, you might need that.
You don't care, right, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Chris, would you have worn it? Would you have worn the Guardian cap or no?
Hell yeah. I mean, I'm married, I ain't chasing nothing. I mean, I don't care how I look. I'm just trying to get paid and make it and survive. I don't care how goofy I look. No, all the concussions. I never had more than one in a year. I had 11 and 15 years, so I had them all stretched out. Yes, if I'm trying to last a long time, I'm going to do whatever it takes. So if that's what it takes to wear that big old bubble head,
Gazoo. Thing.
Yeah, gazoo. Yeah, yeah. So I definitely did that. But what did Chris Olave truly do this year? Last game, he lived up to expectations. We had over 100 yards receiving. But other than that, just look at all the games. I mean, and you're trying to get paid? No, Chris Olave is not giving up football. And you know, like his brother said, he might be someplace else. But if you're going to be number one guy, you got to be the difference maker no matter where you're at. You got to look in the mirror. Everyone, like Deuce said, you got to look in the mirror as a player. Okay, how can I be better? I don't care if you're young or old. How can I be better? Now, remember when Cam Jordan said everyone still bought in, and then now you lose to Carolina? I think we're having that players-only meeting. I think we're definitely having that players-only meeting now. Because out back, we can't get any lower than we are right now.
We're meeting all you hoodats here on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. So many of you wanted to sound off. We're going to take a break. Be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Appreciate all you hoodats calling into our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. Cajun Cannon going to get right back into it here on the Ciroc Point after Hollywood and Thibodeau. What's going on, man?
Hello, Steve. Hello, Baba. How y'all doing?
Meh. Could be better.
Well, Hollywood, yeah, I guess when it rains, it pours. And, well, all I know, it seems like two different seasons. When you think, well, how good we were feeling after 2-0 compared to, boy, what have you done for me lately? Now, this might be, considering you get the fan base and their hopes so high, not just shows you how sorry the Cowgirls, how sorry Dallas was, and but then you look Carolina, we crushed this team. Now you have to look at, we were decimated in the secondary, who's playing. But it wasn't that long ago, and what, we lose today 23-22. So, no, very disappointing because Carolina's not very good.
Bobby, I was impressed with the secondary, the backups. They cover a little bit better than Lattimore and Adebo. I think they did a great job. Not too many flags.
Well, you have to look at, yeah, not too many flags. You have to look who they're playing to. Nothing to write home about the Carolina receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, they let their top receiver go to the Ravens in a trade. And then who was the guy? Thielen. The one from the Vikings. He was hurt. So, yeah, so you have to look at, I don't know, it was like bad versus bad. And but we did hang then. It wasn't like the secondary was so much a liability, that's what cost us the game. No, that was not the case.
So, Bobby, since we played a bad team in Carolina, how many games do you see the Saints win in the rest of the season?
Well, Hollywood, when I look at it, because it's not overwhelming schedule, but I don't know, how are we playing? Can you maybe turn the corner and get maybe as many hands on deck as far as you're counting on? The Giants aren't good. The Raiders aren't good. The Browns, you know, Carolina's not good, but we're not good either. So I don't know. You flip a coin. Right. I mean, it could still be, I don't know, case in point, that maybe you somewhat turn the season around. And what I mean by that, you kind of go a 50-50 ordeal or a little bit less. And it's very disappointing, and changes will have to be made, that all of a sudden you win six games. So you're 6-11. What is that? I mean, it's not like, oh, we're heading in the right direction. Let's just stay put because all the injuries we had. No, all NFL teams are dealing with injuries. So if you try to ask me, do you think we'll win another game? I'd say yes. Because of our schedule, I think we'll not only win another game, we might win two or three more.
Currently, Cajun Cannon, the Saints have the number two pick in the NFL draft.
Well, and a lot of fans might want to stay at number two. But it's a down year, though, for QBs.
Right.
You know, it's not like last year. Remember, when you look at it's cyclical, how different years you have. Oh, 1 year, you're lucky if you maybe have one, two, or three, whatever, or maybe, I don't know, you might be reaching to get the two or three. Then other years, you might have five or six. You know, like everybody like Caleb Williams, Jane Daniels. Some people had Jane Daniels over Caleb. But, you know, they were kind of
there's,
you know,
no one like that this year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 1-2. So, yeah, so that's why I still think that no matter where we're picking, that that Derek Carr will be the quarterback this year and next year in 26. Now, the new head coach might have different, agenda and what he wants to do. But I just think what they have invested in Carr and the renegotiating, the restructuring his contract, not renegotiating, but restructuring his contract, that Derek Carr will finish out this season and be the quarterback for next year. Now, that's a long way away. I don't know about 2026. Anything else, Hollywood?
Yeah, Bobby, when the Saints come back home tonight and Dennis Allen get a good sleep, would you fire him tomorrow?
I don't know if it's going to help things. You know, and the Saints don't have a history. The last time they fired a coach is 1980, and that was Dick Nolan before Bum Phillips. So when you think about that, and they were 1-15. So back in Archie Manning days, what's Archie like, 75, 76 right now? And then even Jim Moore, you have to remember, in 1996, Hollywood, he just quit. And I talked to Coach Mara. To this day, I was still playing. I was in Atlanta at the time. Coach Mara said that he was too emotional, that he viewed himself that year as a quitter.
He goes,
I am not a quitter. But he was so down and out, he quit that year. I don't see Dennis Allen quitting.
No.
So I think they'll play out the season, because you're going to bring an interim head coach. What would, to me, be the difference? Whether you had the assistant head coach, Darren Rizzi, or you had Dennis Allen. See, to me, is that going to make a difference whether we're going to win or lose? So I think they're just going to let itself play itself out with Dennis Allen. And then I think you don't need to necessarily stay from within. And like I was saying, get an outside general manager to mix it up. And then Mickey Loomis moves up, like Rich McKay, they were the Falcons organization, and be the liaison with Ms. Gale, along with Dennis Lausch, the three-headed monster. And then Ms. Gale's the owner, but then Mickey can go represent the team at the NFL owners' meetings and do all that. And so he's still in town. He's still involved. And being like a consultant, but not being the guy in charge. And the one guy with the personnel, I think, and he was with the Dolphins. He got run out of town before, and Sean Payton trusts him. Who knows? If we get rid of him, he might end up in Denver. Like a number of these Saints, Jeff Ireland, we might fire Jeff Ireland. Then Sean Payton says, well, I kind of like that. I got along with him. Jeff, you come work in Denver. Come work for the Broncos with us. I'm telling you, you just got to be willing to move. That kind of stuff happens all the time.
Cajun Cannon, back to our Hoke and Hart Jewelers talking text line. We got Gavin in New Orleans East. What you got for us that today, Gavin?
Hey, good evening, guys. I'll just say this in poem. The fish, with what I saw today, I would just like to say, play calling sucked, officials are blind. Gail Benson, if you don't fire Alan Loomis, you must be out of your mind.
Well, Ms. Gale's a nice lady, and sometimes that if you're an NFL owner, now you want everybody to get along with you, but you can't be nice. You have to have a little tough love, and it might take that from Ms. Gale. And the one thing that's going to affect changes is the bottom line and the fan base.
Right, the
Who Dat Nation. Yes, the money. And if it starts touching the money, that's when Dennis Lausher and Ms. Gale like, these numbers don't add up to what they need to be as far as having sustained success to have a team in New Orleans, in the Gulf Coast, Gulf South.
Yeah, but Bobby, I just want to point out two quick things if I can. First off, the officiating, even though the Saints went in the red zone twice and couldn't punch it in, they missed two horse collar calls on Alvin.
That is true.
That should have been called. And these officials, I'm just going to say this, you get fined for calling them out if you're a coach or player, but when are they going to start? They need to start fining and suspending these guys because they're too involved in the game and they determine the outcome. That's one thing. Second of all, with regards to Allen, the man I've called in before, he's been a coach in Oakland. Al Davis didn't wait until the fourth game of the third season that he was in when he just said, I had enough of you. Because Al Davis was a man, his motto, as you know, Bobby, was just win, baby. He cared about winning, and he didn't tolerate. He'll fire coaches. He would fire coaches after one season.
Well, he fired Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin was too young. He hired Lane Kiffin. Now, I don't know when Al Davis passed away and when Mark Davis took over. But the Raiders are dysfunctional too. They ain't done anything right as of late. like the Panthers and Tepper with their owner. But, you know, if you're going back with the Raiders in the heyday when they were winning Super Bowls, you're looking at the 70s, early 80s. No, and then that was, that is true. Al Davis, just win, baby. And that's the way they were, and that was their motto. Not be interesting to see, does Mark Davis lean upon Tom Brady, who's now going to be a minority owner with the Raiders, and to see the influence that Tom Brady has on the Raiders in the future. So that's going to be interesting. But, no, Dennis Allen has had a number of opportunities as a head coach. I mean, now think about this. If you count the Raiders and the Saints, he's won 26 games and lost 53. I mean, come on. I mean, that's a big enough sample size, wouldn't you say?
Pathetic.
Hello. Yeah.
It's pathetic.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, at some point, it's just your time. Yeah, you can be, like you said, you could be a nice guy, but this is a business about results.
Right.
When you don't do a good job, and this is with anything, Bobby, if I worked the job for several years and I was underperforming, and I could be besties with the manager. The boss comes in, the owner looks at the productivity and says, the numbers, this ain't working. You know, this person's got to go. Guess what? The manager's not going to quit with me because he likes me. He's going to fire me. This Dennis Allen, and no, it may not save, it's not going to save the same season, but you're sending a message to your fans that we care. And I'll end it right like this. I remember when Arthur Blank, as the owner, took out an apology ad when the Falcons got whooped in one of the games, I can't remember against who. But even though I'm not defending any Falcons team or anything like that, but it just showed as the owner, you know, I have to acknowledge my fan base. And I think that's something I'm not seeing from Benson, and I think a message needs to be sent.
Well, you might see that. Gavin, you might see that from Ms. Gale, Greg Benson. I think they know how to handle PR situations. So I think if it keeps in, we're down in the valley, and but we're sliding down. Now, I think we've hit rock bottom considering where Carolina was at and their perception in the league. But there's still a few games left to play. So that'll be interesting. Again, the fans can be disgruntled, and, you know, you want to catch the owner's attention, then I don't know if it's a form of protest, whatever, but the fanny's in the seat. I mean, it's all of a sudden, okay, you might want to be involved because it's a big rivalry, Atlanta and New Orleans, so you go to that game. Let's say you're disappointed. I don't know what's going to happen. I always say this, no matter how good either team is, it seems like it's you win one, we win one. You kind of split that, and then you got Cleveland. Because the next three games are at home. So it'll be interesting to see, okay, what happens? Okay, do we take care of business against Atlanta? Let's say we don't. Let's say in Cleveland we don't. Who we play after that? The Rams?
Right.
And we got a bye, then the Rams? Man, some people might not be showing up. They already might not be showing up. So that, again, that's when the protests and the money's involved. It's like, oh, we have to get the fans to be more optimistic. Well, then you have to listen to them, and then that's when changes come about.
They are sure showing up on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line. Again, 504-260-1870. Head into break, but first we're going to pause 10 seconds and let those stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Stepping away to fill up our cup here on the Ciroc Point After. We'll be right back with more. Just stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The black and gold falling 23-20 in Carolina. A seventh straight loss. New Orleans now 2-7 on the season. Panic mode officially, definitely engaged with this black and gold bunch.
Well, Steve, if I... Okay, look, we're talking about Charlie in the break. We got a few texts with this. And
things aren't as bad as Jacksonville, though.
Read that. You want to talk about now, look how much they pay. How much they're paying Trevor Lawrence? About $250
million?
Oof. Remember the dude from Clemson, the Fresh Prince from South Carolina, whatever? You know, the Prince. And then I think they gave him like basically $250 million. So what are the Jaguars doing?
Well, right now he's actually improved since we last checked in. He's 5 of 13 passing, 25 yards and an interception. His QB rating went from 7 now to 14.6. The Jags are losing 22-0 in this game, but Cajun Cannon right now, Jacksonville, total net yardage for the day, 72 yards, and we're here 8:20 left in the third quarter to Philadelphia.
I think at the 9-minute mark, Charlie, they had one first down.
Right.
This is well into the third quarter. They had one first down. So it can't be worse than you think when you look. And that's a young quarterback. Jacksonville's invested a lot of money in a young quarterback. And we've had a number of texts speaking about young quarterbacks. You know, can you handle this, Houdat Nation? Can you suffer for the rest of this year and next year? You know, we give the fan base
next
hope.
Next year.
Okay, listen, let me tell you. You know, we give the fan base hope. Okay, now you got to be this, somebody. We have to sacrifice a little bit to maybe look into the future. You know, the back end of this decade. That, okay, not so good this year. And then not so good maybe in 2025. Ugh. And then you draft Archie Manning's grandson.
Oh, man. I don't know if I can take it, Cannon.
Arch Manning, University of Texas and all that. You want to get the fan base and be nostalgic and all that excited and fired up? It'd be like the second coming of Reggie Bush. I'm telling you. You know how when you post Katrina and you're down and out? Look how we viewed Reggie Bush. Now, he couldn't live up to all those expectations. But Reggie Bush was an outstanding player in a Saints uniform. Helped us win a Super Bowl and all that. You know, you look how when that all occurred. You remember Sean Payton all come. We were in the NFC Championship. We were 10-6.
That's a lot of losing football to get to that point, though.
Well, it's not really when you look at the big picture. you have some teams that lose for years, year in and year out. They lose for a whole decade plus. Now look at the Cowgirls, how irrelevant they've been over a quarter of a century. So I'm telling you, if you could tell me that nothing good is really going to happen, and we're definitely under the radar, you know, we had the bottom, we had rock bottom, but then you let Arch Manning be the quarterback for the Saints. I'm telling you, the fan base, now I don't know what would happen if he'd have success or not, but I just know the expectation, they'd be ecstatic with that. And that could possibly happen. Charlie, is that right, 2026?
Yes, sir.
When you look, when I see a few texts like that.
That's too much suckiness for me. I can't deal.
Well, now, I don't know if Archie would want, but that would really age him. I don't know if he want all that pressure watching his grandson play for the Saints, considering all what he went through.
Right, a tough reminder, like you just said, he went through here.
Yeah, but that's from the fan base, the Saints, and we got Archie Manning's grandson. No, they'd be all for that.
Well, from talk about Arch Manning, KJ Cannon, we're going to head back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And James in New Orleans is next up here on the Ciroc Point After. What you got on your mind, James?
So let me tell you, what you just said, Bobby, sounds like a curse, man. My very first Saints game was at Tulane Stadium. We don't want to do that. But what I think the fans, a lot of us are really getting, and I think you get it, but you're not really saying it, is that Mickey Loomis, it's like killing a cancer, right? You want to take all the cancer out. Mickey Loomis is the worst GM in the division. Jason Light for the Buccaneers has boat raced him ever since they signed TB12. We started off as 1-2. Us in Tampa were the oldest team in the division. Then the following two seasons, they became the third youngest team. They won the division, and they beat us in the draft. They beat us in free agency. Then the staffer from Lake Charles and now the GM over at Atlanta, I forget whatever his name is, but I don't like him because he's, to me, he's a traitor. Yeah, him. He's been playing chess been playing checkers. And then this guy, the former linebacker that played here for a hiccup, Dan Morgan, obviously he's done a better job in the draft. Who beat us this time? The tight end? He was a free agent. What happened to our free agent, Hulk Koch or whatever his name is?
Yeah, for Colorado State.
I don't know a whole lot about him in the training camp.
Colorado State, yeah.
He's done nothing is what I'm saying. So, and here's the thing. I mean, I'm just talking about
James, the only stud great player, young player we have. Jordan, yeah, go ahead.
Cam Jordan is making $20 million next season.
And he ain't going to be here next year. He ain't going to be next. But they might have to eat some money.
Because we got Denny's gonna cost us $23 million on the cap. That's the problem. This guy has been puffed. I mean, they're smoking crack or something over there about paying these guys all this money, and he's not doing nothing for the team. As much as I like Cam, I mean DeMario, he
they're all getting old. They're getting old.
Yeah, for the time is undefeated. Nico Lalo's, I don't know if he's still on the team, but he would produce better right now than Cam Jordan. Is Nico Lalo still on the practice squad? Is he or no?
I'll double check with Nico.
Yeah, we got to look because he's kind of like a training camp or a preseason game one day.
Yeah, but he's better than Cam right now. I saw Cam at Tulane when they had the spring. I didn't even recognize him at first. He's already checked out. I don't care what he's worried about, his podcast.
He's doing his podcast and all that. No.
He's checked out, but he's costing money, and he's taking a decent player that could be productive, a rookie or whatever, off the team because we held back with his cap, with this cap thing, this whole cap thing. This is crazy. We're the worst team in the division right now.
But James, could you handle that if Mickey Loomis, because this is you have to look at the trust factor, that Mickey Loomis, if you look at it, God, I can't think of his name right now.
And Nico Lalo's is still currently on the Saints practice
squad. So he's doing the scouting.
Still in the building, right.
Yeah, he's doing the scouting. James, I remember. Okay, let me tell you why Mickey has earned the trust. Ms. Gail Benson and the late Tom Benson, was then all of a sudden Randy Mueller. You remember Randy Mueller? Like he's talking about two decades ago. When all of a sudden he goes behind Mr. Benson's back and interviews with the Falcons. And Mr. Benson didn't know anything about it. So I can't trust him. So he fires him. Then all of a sudden Mickey gets an opportunity. And then Mr. Benson got where he could trust Mickey Loomis and that loyalty. And that's where they're at right now. I think Arthur Blank, James, trusts Rich McKay, who was once the general manager. And if you look at Mr. McKay, where he's at, Arthur Blank trusts him, but Fondo's running the team. So, James, I have a question for you. Do you think that Mickey Loomis could still be around in the building and kind of be a liaison as far as going to the owners' meetings and all that and not necessarily be involved with if an outside general manager came in? Because you might think he has to go. But why has it worked with McKay in Atlanta when all of a sudden the same position he once had, Mr. Fontenot got that now in Atlanta. So what's your take on that? Because if you look in the history of winning as general managers, now Sean Payton, you might say, had a lot to do with that, Drew Brees and all that. Don't you? I know, James, you respect Ozzie Newsome and what he did with the Ravens. In the history of the NFL, do you know Mickey Loomis is the ninth winning as general manager? Ozzie Newsome is number 8. Mickey Loomis is number 9. So you talk about the history of the NFL. I'm talking about Curly Lambeau. You know Lambeau Field in Green Bay? I'm talking about Tex Schramm with the Cowgirls. Bill Polian.
Can I answer
Al
that?
Davis.
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I answer that? All right, listen. Everything comes to the end. To an end.
I agree.
Bill Belichick got fired. If Bill Belichick could get fired,
anybody get fired.
Mickey sucks right now, man. I mean, come on. $25 million Cam is going to get next season. What about the running back from Detroit? The guy who.
Jamal Williams, though, he's stealing money too.
He's trash. He's trash. I mean, come on now. You got to pay him $4 million just to sit on the bench. We got to find. I mean, we had opportunities to pick up. I'm speaking of Jason Light because the biggest thing about him to me is every year they win the division, so they draft behind us, and every year they beat us in the draft. That center you ain't seen him play yet, but the center that they picked up. Is this as good as Fuaga? But what, 5-6 picks after us? Come on, we have a problem with center right now, right? We could have signed the fat guy that went to the Raiders, and then picked up a center or something. We picked up no running backs. They beat us with free agent running backs. They beat us with a
James, you have to look at it. James, we do not have, and I don't know, you can use the cutoff point, maybe 26 years of age. And I said this last week, that we don't have any elite great players, young players. They could be good or very good, like Chris Olave and all that. We don't have no elite. And I told Mike to tell you this, James, and he's hurt. Eric McCoy is an outstanding center. And Eric McCoy, I think, could start off for every team. But if they have a good center, they might put him at guard. So I'd say rather left guard, right guard, or center, McCoy could start for every team. But other than that, I don't know if we have other players that are elite. And
I thought maybe Alante Taylor, but I've seen a lot of bad from him as well.
No, he's too up and down. Now, he might be in the rotation. He might be Ugo Amadi's what Ugo does, Amadi does for us at number zero. You know, for us, he might be that kind of player on another team. But to say, no, he's the number one for sure that we're counting on, no, to me, you know, he wasn't overwhelmed from the get-go, but he's been a little bit up and down. I don't see him taking leaps and bounds and getting it done. And even with McCoy, to show you the great offensive line we had, James, I don't even know if McCoy is even as good as the old veteran we got. Remember for the Seahawks, Max Unger. Remember that trade with Jimmy Graham? Max Unger. No, flat-out stud. No, flat-out studs are like the Max Ungers of the world, the Jari Evans, the Teron Armstead,
right,
all when they were at their best. And even Carl Nix, before he took the big payday to go to Tampa Bay. Man, we ain't got them kind of dogs no more.
One of my folks, Venture Global, is donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this year. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. After today's game, current donations, $19,760 here on the Ciroc Point After. Taking a break right now. Be right back. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After, and boy, do I need another drink. So time for the Ciroc Toast of the Game to the Saints player that we are picking. Pour yourself a glass of Ciroc Premium Vodka and toast to Alvin Kamara. He had 215 all-purpose yards today, Cajun Cannon, and really the only big spark on offense for the black and gold.
Yeah, if you look at it, even as a team, we were right at a 5-yard average, 4.8. Alvin was at 5.3. You can even look at QB power, I think. I don't know. The Panthers knew it was still coming, and they still couldn't stop it at times. But we had 41 rushing attempts, right at 200 yards, 197, 4.8 average. And look, Alvin Kamara, 29 carries, 155 yards, 5.5-yard average. And then you look.
Top rusher, top receiver.
Yeah, top receiver, 6 catches, 60 yards. But I don't know. If you look at it, it doesn't matter who you're playing, even though it is the NFL. You look when we play like the Eagles, or you look at different things. How many yards are you getting before contact? Well, that didn't surprise me. The freaking Panthers suck. Carolina had the worst NFL rushing defense. They were dead last, giving up 155 yards a game. Well, we got 197. So I thought like, and Mike said, no, I think we should, Mike D'Antilio said, I think we should get about 150. And I said, I don't know. I'd be happy considering how we have not run the ball as of late. Well, can we get 130 to help Derek Carr and to mix it up? We did more than help. I think anytime you're around 200 yards rushing and you plus one, I don't know how we lost the game. I don't know. It's the freaking Saints. How did we lose that game? You know, when you look at all that, but. Yeah, Alvin Kamara, even though next year, I still think he's going to be part of the team. You know, I think he's a young, you know, I said he's a young 29. I think he'll be a young 30. You look even Derrick Henry. You know, I think how you take care of your body, how you train, and all that. Alvin Kamara is the least of my worries. I'm not worried about a lot of other individuals. Than Alvin Kamara. Okay, Alvin Kamara, who I'm not worried, even though with their age, you know, like you want to get younger and all that. I still think that, okay, if you're going to go, you only could pick two older players. So you can't pick, okay, if you're going to pick out this list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got Honey Badger, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara. I'm keeping Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara.
That's not fair. That's who I'm keeping.
And then the third one, if I had to keep three, then it would be Double D.
Agreed. I'm right with you.
And listen, I love Honey Badger. Honey Badger is one of the greatest college football players ever and one of the greatest LSU Tigers. But it's not the same. And then Cam Jordan, he just fell off the cliff. The production is not there. Bang for your buck and all that. And it's just the way it is. It's the NFL. But I still think, like, let's say next year, even I wouldn't be surprised. So you got half of this year, let's say, all of next year, even going into 26. You know how things change, coaches changing. That I know even in 2026, you never know where you're going to be as a player. Now, I think Taysom Hill will still be contributing, if not for the Saints, some team, or Alvin Kamara in the 2026 season.
Oh, if he's not with us, he'll be in Denver.
In 2026 season. Watch, I'm telling you that you still have that opportunity.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Going to get into your calls right after this, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, nothing but pain in Saints land, Houdat Nation. 23-22, the final in Carolina. Both the Panthers and Saints 2-7 on the year. The Saints dropping their seventh straight game after losing their first two. Cajun Cannon, now we're going to get into what's bugging Bobby about today's game. I'm sure there could be a huge list.
Yeah.
It's brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. What is bugging you, Bobby?
What was bugging me, I have to apologize to the Houdat Nation because I was wrong.
You?
I thought, and I'm objective about this, and I think I can normally play the percentages and be right on this. I thought, well, we're not really going to do anything this year. It's going to be the same song and dance. We're going to be middle of the pack. And that's kind of in limbo. But then they get excited about, but not to get too depressed. Well, now I'm depressed because we're not middle of the pack.
We wish we were middle of the pack.
Yes. Because if you're middle of the pack, it's not much difference between 8-9, which is a losing record, or double-digit wins, and you're 10-7. I'm telling you, how the ball bounces. You know, there's always a handful of plays. But right now, we're not even sniffing that. So if you look at it, and I thought, losing six games in a row, like last week, I said, well, we're not in the middle of the pack, you know, which would be, you know, you're hovering around to make the playoffs, so you might be 15 or 16, whatever, how the ball's going to bounce. And I said, well, we're probably in the 20s. We're in the 20s. Well, after losing to Carolina, we're not even in the 20s. We're more like in the 30s. Well, there's 32 teams, so either you could be last, or one before last, or 30th. So I think the bottom three, right now, we're going to let this play out. Either we 30th, 31, or 32. Either last or one before last. Now, we got to wait and see how this plays out. But that's how discouraged I am right now with this losing streak and this lack of confidence where we have. Now, coming into the game, that was the case for Carolina. Because they were giving up 34 points a game, they were dead last. Passing offense, they were 30th. Total defense, they were one before last. Rushing defense, they were dead last. Well, yeah, hell yeah, we should be able to run against them. And then our total defense, they were one before last where we were last. So now we're justifying by being in the 30s as far as overall offense, defense, special teams, as far as the team. Now, what doesn't make sense is that we plus three in the turnover margin. And we either 30, 31st, or 32nd. And Carolina, okay, yeah, they're in the same boat as us, but they minus seven in the turnover margin. That would make sense that instead of us being plus three, if we would be like minus six or seven, well, that's why we're not winning. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. So that's what's bugging me.
You mentioned it, Cajun Cannon, being in the bottom three of the NFL. Well, right now, currently, as it stands, the New England Patriots have the number one pick in the draft, so they're 32. Well, we're 31 because the Saints have the number two pick in the draft right above the Carolina Panthers, who now have number three.
So they're 30. We won before last. So, you know, we look at, okay, the Patriots would be last. We won before last.
Right.
And then look how the mighty has fallen. You know, it's amazing how to keep pace and the structure. That's why I respect Andy Reid and what he's doing right now with the Chiefs. Look how much in the who's the team in the 21st century?
Oh, no doubt.
The Patriots.
Right.
And the Patriots are considered the worst. Look how the mighty has fallen when Bill Belichick didn't have Tom Brady, and then he's no longer there.
That guy's pretty good, yeah.
So if Bill Belichick can get fired, anybody can get fired. Arguably, like Coach Saban in college football, the greatest coach ever as far as when you're looking at winning championships, Super Bowls.
What do you say
like
to fans that are calling for, get rid of Dennis Allen and bring in Bill Belichick here? I just don't think that's a fit. It's not right.
I mean, I don't care. That's a lot of money. I like Bill Belichick, and he wanted to be too much in control.
Right.
And the Saints organization might not be willing to give that up. But Bill Belichick will land somewhere. To me, you got six, seven, eight coaches. And the only thing about Bill Belichick, and Charlie and I had talked about this, and they know this, the owners, they all know this, that as much as Bill Belichick would want to go to another organization and win a Super Bowl, you know what he wants to really do? Be the all-time winningest coach in pro football history. Charlie, what it is? He has to win like 14 more games?
He's 14 games behind Shula.
14 games behind the great Don Shula. We all know the Miami Dolphins that went undefeated was that 72, early 70s.
Right.
And I'll tell you, he wants to win that. So there's 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. So Bill Belichick, Vrabel.
Will always be in that conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're going to have a chance.
Bring up John Gruden.
John Gruden, who knows? He might resurface. Then they bring up the emails and what happened, with him when he was at the Raiders in Washington with their general manager. I think it was George Allen's son. I can't think of his name right now. But that'll always come about. But when you look at Belichick, we'll have an opportunity. But the point I was bringing up is that, okay, if the Patriots could go down how they went down, considering they were the team of the 21st century and all the Super Bowls they won with Tom Brady and Belichick, yes, anybody can get fired. And look where we're at right now. Since Sean Payton and Drew Brees, no longer in the fold. It's like a three-year process, and all of a sudden we're having conversations like it's a couple of decades ago. It's like, I don't know, Mike Ditka, when he's on that losing streak, or Jim Haslett, the Katrina year in 2005 before Sean Payton came on board. So that's kind of like where we're at right now. So as a fan base, you want to avoid that. But you know what I view, and I don't care what the sport is. Now, if you never won a championship, now the Saints have already won a Super Bowl. It's a question for a number of fans. I don't care whether it's NFL, whether it's the NBA, whether it's Major League Baseball, whatever. Would you take, like for instance, the Detroit Lions never won anything. Would you take that you're going to win a Super Bowl, but then you might not win anything for a decade after that, and you might not be relevant? I think if a fan base, if you've never won, I think right now, like the Cleveland Browns.
Right, give me the championship.
Not about the Yankees or all that. I'm talking about some franchise where there's Major League, NBA.
And starved and desperate.
Like the Pelicans right now. I would say, hell yeah. Can you imagine the Pelicans winning an NBA championship and they won't win none for 10 years? I would take that right now. Now, you want to have more consistency, but you can't have your cake and eat it too. You're going to win an NBA championship or a World Series. Or are you going to win the Super Bowl, but you ain't going to win nothing for a decade?
Does that also mean you're not competitive?
You might be on the cuffs of going to the playoffs, but you're not doing nothing.
Okay.
It's
hard not to take the title.
Or you might be, I want to fire everybody. But you get to win that one World Series or Super Bowl or NBA championship. And you've never won anything. I'm not talking about if you've won something. Like the Memphis Grizzlies or whatever, or the Pelicans. You know, you can look, or Charlie can come up with, like a Major League Baseball team who's never won anything, then you have a chance to win the World Series. And then, or you can look, like I said, like the Browns or the Lions. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be irrelevant for a decade. No, I think right now, I think where the Saints are at, we got to get to the point that we might have to totally rebuild. And then you're at the bottom of the barrel, and then it's like a phoenix rising out of the ashes. And you come up, because you look at post-Katrina, no one thought, look at Drew Brees, a bum wing and all that in his arm. Then you got Sean Payton, and then all of a sudden, who was to come to New Orleans post-Katrina and all that? And look, it took them a while to get to the NFC Championship. Like, oh, a little spall there.
Right.
And then you look 2009. So look from 5 to 9. They go 3-13 with Haslett. They're the traveling all-stars. They Haslett gets fired. Sean comes on board. And then 2009, they win the Super Bowl.
Magic.
That 2009 season.
We are taking a break here on the Ciroc Point after the Saints falling 23-22 at Carolina. Now 7 straight losses for the Black and Gold. Going to take a break. Be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point after the Saints fall to Carolina 23-22. Panthers 2-7. Saints 2-7. Ugh, stuck in not even mediocrity anymore. It's just misery. Checking in our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking.
Bad, bad, bad.
Bad all around. Checking in our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Frank in Mississippi, what you got for us tonight, man?
What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, all right, Frank, what you got, dog?
Man, look, I've been a Saints fan ever since I was a little kid. Look, when John Meekin Jr. had the team, that's how long I've been with the Saints. Look, back then they were bad, man, but today they just stunk.
Well, you have to consider who they're playing against, too, Carolina. It's like bad playing bad, the Bad News Bears out there. No, it was bad. It wasn't like...
But they beat them statistically.
Yeah, but then we didn't... And you got to win scoring.
Not on the scoreboard, though.
Yeah, we got to win on the scoreboard. Yeah, it was terrible.
Bobby, you the quarterback, 4th and 4. What you going to throw a long pass for?
No, that was stupid.
Why don't you... Find your running back, get the first down.
Well, I don't know if it was the play call with Coach Kubiak. I definitely don't agree. 4th and 4. We threw it to Wilson. We don't need no 30-yard gain. We got to move the chain. All we need, you know what's crazy? We don't need a damn touchdown. What do we need to win? A field goal. Get in field goal range. Now, I don't know.
No groupie's got the leg.
No. I wrote this in my notes, Steve. Look right here. Bad play call. Okay, what are the options? I'm going to ask Coach Allen that. Now, I don't know if that was a Derek Carr decision, but I even looked at the – I'm going to look at the replay again. But, like, what are the options as far as – because it's 4th and 4, it's not 4th and 14, it's 4th and 4. I mean, come on, you have to have some kind of route that you can attack Carolina – and first down, Saints. And then you're going and getting a field goal range. And I don't know, you hope Groovy's going to make it. He has, you know, he's 3 for 3 from 50 yards this season. It's not like we got to go score a touchdown like the Eagles had to score a touchdown against us. And we gave that up to lose that game. So that's just frustrating. I'm going to ask Coach Allen that on the coach's show tomorrow night. What in the hell was that play call? Why are we throwing the ball 30 yards down the field?
Allen is the defensive coordinator, right?
Right, right.
Why don't you be a coach instead of hire somebody else to take care of the defense?
Well, we do have coaches. We do have a defensive coordinator, but it's more like a figurehead. That's Dennis Allen's baby. It's like Sean Payton being the head coach, but he still wants to call the plays because everyone has a background. So Dennis Allen, who knows, on the latter part of the season – he might give up the defensive play calling, Steve, but I know he's always said that that's his baby. When you look at the defense and, with Coach Woods, he's a defensive coordinator, so he might give an opportunity to call the defenses. I mean, because if you look at, okay, where are we ranked defense? I have to look and see, okay, our numbers and – and then get any worse than this. It never been. We know we always considered us a top 10 defense.
Right.
Well, coming into the game, we were dead last in total yards given up. Rushing defense, we missed tackles and all that. We were 28, and pass defense, we were 28. So I would say yes. Okay, Coach Allen, let's try and mix it up. You just be the figurehead and be involved as a head coach and delegate and let Coach Woods run the defense. Since his title is defensive coordinator. You know, it'd be like almost Coach Payton at times. She lets Pete Carmichael call the plays. Remember when he got suspended and all that, even though he was the head coach and wanted to call plays. So it's just the opposite, where Coach Payton was an offensive head coach who wanted to call the plays, with Dennis Allen, a defensive head coach who's calling the defense. So that's a good point, J.D., for him to mix it up.
Looking else at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking.
Oh, is that Frank?
No, that's all right, Cajun Kenny. You were just seeing the future. Now we're going to J.D. in Mississippi. What you got tonight, J.D., on the Ciroc point after?
Hey, Steve and Bobby, it's all right to rest my car. Hey, this is like therapy, man, on this. I can't believe we're talking about
just draft, vent. Let it all out.
Well, what I wanted is rare I would ever disagree with the Cajun Cannon, and I'm not disagreeing with it. But, man, a Manning from Texas ain't got the same power. Like, up in Mississippi, we trip out. How do these Mannings keep from going to LSU? We would almost understand it. Like, man, how can you be from down there? You got to send one of your kids to LSU if you don't send them to Ole Miss. So then, you know, the only way the Manning thing works is coming through our school. And while I got this on there, I just want to say, man, I think our quarterback's worth keeping around Rattler to look at, but I ain't 100% sold on him. And we see the ceiling on Carr. And while we're breaking into tribalism, when the nation falls together, we become tribal. So I'm going to read off a list. Archie Manning, Chuck Comiskey, Deuce McAllister, Norman Hand, John Forkay.
Ole Miss Rebels.
And they love the Rebels. And see, I don't know what it's like. I would assume coming from LSU and getting drafted by the Saints, I don't know if it's more pride or pressure, but I can tell you, it's coming from Ole Miss, it's both. You can't come back up. Hey, man, why? You got to do good for the Saints if you come from Ole Miss, because everybody up here loves the Saints, and it's pride.
Well, JD, this is really give you the red ass or burn you that Cooper. Here's Cooper, like Eli, is an Ole Miss Rebel, but then he loves Austin, Texas. Loves Austin, Texas, sends his boy to be a Longhorn.
I can't tell you what we say about that. That's not made for radio or Sunday. And we don't want to run the kids off, but we maybe one day I can tell you what we say. And see, we love them, but see, like, we have a good penchant for Ohio State players. How can you knock it? We've had Will Smith, rest his soul, Michael Thomas. But now look around the league, there's guys like Metcalf, and man, we should have that Jaden Daniels somehow, knowing that had we known this was going to happen, like that LSU dude being with us, you can hang your hat on it beside somebody like Alvin Kamara, who ain't our worries, but it's just like you said, Bobby. So when, you know, and you could get a dude like Jackson Dart for not much investment. He'll go under the radar, and I ain't saying he's no future, but throw him in the mix, man.
He's an NFL quarterback. I know Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin knows what he's doing. And Jackson Dart, you look how he ended up at Ole Miss. No, again, I don't know. He might be an NFL quarterback on the roster, or can he be the man? It's kind of like you don't know if Spencer Rattler can be the man. But I think Jackson Dart from Ole Miss has a chance to be the man in the NFL just as much as Spencer Rattler. I mean, you don't know. I mean, that's what I think. And I think, let me tell you, you know, even the next step. Now, supporting cast, where you end up? Was Shador Deion Sanders' son? No, again, there's not enough quarterbacks around. He's tough. I've seen him get the crap knocked out of him. I tell you, he'll make it in the NFL.
Taking a break. When we get back, get the Cajun Cannon's final thoughts right here on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are closing up shop here on the Ciroc Point After. First, we're going to take a 10-second pause right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network to let stations identify themselves. Cajun Cannon, we got about 30 seconds to wrap things up. Obviously, 7 straight loss for the black and gold. We are in the pits, the desperation mode. Things are just sad, sorry. What are your overall thoughts right now with this team getting ready for Atlanta next week?
Well, and it's a divisional game, but it's your main rival. You know, I always say they could split the season, so why not beat Atlanta next week? It could happen, I'm telling you. Look, Atlanta did score an offensive touchdown last time we played in the Georgia Dome. Now, they're hot, but I still think we can beat them.
Thanks for everyone to listen in. Have a great night. For Charlie Long, Steve Geller, and the Bobby Hebert, say goodnight.
All right, bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat? Go Saints!
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.